नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we're reading today from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, almost at the end. We're reading from chapter, not that one. We're reading from chapter 19. I'm going to be reading the chapter summary, and then the first four verses. We'll speak on verse 4 of this chapter. The title of the chapter is Performing the Pungsavana Ritualistic Ceremony. This chapter explains how Diti, Kashyapa Muni's wife, executed Kashyapa Muni's instructions on devotional service. So just to understand why we're going backwards, Maharaj Parikit has inquired to learn more about the ceremony in detail. And so now it is being explained in more detail than previously. During the first day of the bright fortnight of the moon of the month of Agrahayana, November, December, every woman, following in the footsteps of Diti and following the instructions of her own husband, should begin the Pungsavana Vrat. In the morning, after washing her teeth, bathing, and thus becoming purified, she should hear about the birth mystery of the Muruts. Then, covering her body with a white dress and being properly ornamented, before breakfast, she should worship Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu's wife, by glorifying Lord Vishnu for his mercy, patience, prowess, ability, greatness, and other glories, and for how he can bestow all mystic benedictions, while offering the Lord all paraphernalia for worship, such as ornaments, a sacred thread, scents, nice flowers, incense, and water for bathing, and washing his feet, hands, and mouth, one should invite the Lord with this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhavaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Saha Mahavibhuti Bir Balim Upaharami. Then one should offer 12 oblations in the fire while chanting this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Svaha. One should offer obeisances while chanting this mantra 10 times. Then one should chant the Lakshmi Narayan mantra. If either a pregnant woman or her husband regularly discharges this devotional service, both of them will receive the result. After continuing this process for one full year, the chaste wife should fast on the Purnima, the full moon day of Kartik. On the following day, the husband should worship the Lord as before, and then observe a festival by cooking nice food and distributing prasadam to the Brahmins. Then, with the permission of the Brahmins, the husband and wife should take prasad. This chapter ends by glorifying the results of the Pungsavana function. Hare Krishna. Okay, so text one. Sri Raja Uvacha Vratam pungsavanam brahman bhavata yad udhiratam tasya veditam ichchami yena vishnu prasidati. Translation. Maharaj Parikit said, "My dear Lord, you have already spoken about the pungsavana vow. Now I want to hear about it in detail, for I understand that by observing this vow one can please the Supreme Lord Vishnu." Texts 2 and 3 are combined. Shri Shuka Uvacha Sukle Marga Shire Pakshe Yoshit Partu Anujaya Arabheta Vratam Idam Sarva Kamikam Adita Vishamya marutam janma brahmanan anumantriyacha snadva shukla dati shukle vashitalankritam bare puya pujayat patarasat prag bhagavatanam shriyasaha.
Sukadeva Goswami said, on the first day of the bright fortnight of the month of Agrahayana, November, December, following the instructions of her husband, a woman should begin this regulative devotional service with a vow of penance, for it can fulfill all one's desires. Before beginning the worship of the Lord Vishnu, the woman should hear the story of how the Maruts were born. Under the instructions of qualified Brahmins, in the morning, she should wash her teeth, bathe, and dress herself with white cloth and ornaments, and before taking breakfast, she should worship Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi. And this verse will do responsively. Alang te nirapekshaya
Purna kama namostute
Mahabhuti Pataye Mahabhuti Pataye
Namasakala Siddhaye
Alam Te Nirapekshaya
Purnakama Namostute
Mahavibhuti Pataye
Namasakala Siddhaye
Alang Te Nirapekshaya
Purnakama Namostute
Mahavibhuti Pataye
Namasakala Siddhaye
Alam, enough. Te, to you, nirapekshaya, indifferent, purnakama, O Lord, whose desire is always fulfilled,
namah,
obeisances, astu, may there be, te, unto you, maha vibhuti, of Lakshmi, Pataye, unto the husband,
Nama,
obeisances,
Sakala Siddhaye,
unto the master of all mystic perfections. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. She should then pray to the Lord as follows. My dear Lord, you are full in all opulences, but I do not beg you for opulence. I simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are the husband and master of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, who has all opulences. Therefore, you are the master of all mystic yoga. I simply offer my obeisances unto you. Purport. A devotee knows how to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Purnam Adah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adhaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. The Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because He is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanated from Him, He remains the complete balance. Therefore, to take shelter of the Supreme Lord is required. Whatever a devotee needs will be supplied by the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tesham Niya Biyuktanam Yoga Shemam Vahamyaham. Therefore, a pure devotee will not ask anything from the Lord. He simply offers the Lord his respectful obeisances, and the Lord is prepared to accept whatever the devotee can secure to worship him, even patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water. There is no need to artificially exert oneself. It is better to be plain and simple, and with respectful obeisances offer to the Lord whatever one can secure. The Lord is completely able to bless the devotee with all opulences.
Om gana timirandasya ganangana shalakaya chakshur unmilatang jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karati vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripa tvam aham vande shri guru dinatamanam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swamini tinamane namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharane nirvishesha shunyavade paschachate satarane.
Before I start, I have an announcement to make, requested by Mother Parvati, and no one wants to get the wrath of Mother Parvati, so she told me to say that the list of those who will lead the chanting of the Bhagavad Gita tomorrow is posted in both Hindi and English on the Welcome Center notice board, and if there are any questions, they can be answered within the Welcome Center. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I found the last line in particular of this purport to be extremely characteristic of Srila Prabhupada's mood. Of course, from the very beginning of the purport, Prabhupada puts us straight. I don't know how many people, when they read this purport or this verse or these verses, these chapters, thought of maybe we should start this yajna, this sacrifice, this vrata, because we sometimes get into doing vratas, you know? Sometimes Krishna goes on sale, there's like Kartik vrata, whatever, and then Krishna goes on sale, so everybody rushes because it's cheaper, you know? You can do a few things for a few days or a few months or a few years or a year, and then you can achieve something that might have been more expensive had you not come on that day. But Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a different understanding of Krishna consciousness. Not that we should go on sale, and not that we should go for any material thing, but that we should keep it simple. There's an expression, kiss, keep it simple, sadhu. Sometimes they say, keep it simple, stupid. But for devotees, nobody's stupid. So we keep it simple, sadhu, that we should focus our mind and intelligence and our worship on pleasing Krishna, making Krishna happy. And then everything else comes. And basically Prabhupada says that at the end of this purport. Just keep it simple, whatever you can offer. We have so many examples in our scripture about devotees who offered almost nothing. Kalifesha Sridhar was brought up the other day, although not spoken about. And what did he offer? He offered banana leaf cups and bananas. And then we have Sudama who offered chipped rice, and another Sudama who offered garland. We don't have to offer very opulent things. We can just offer anything. Prabhupada mentions here, patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, a leaf, a fruit, a flower. Krishna will accept it as long as there's bhakti. Because bhakti is really the essence of our worship. And without bhakti, nothing is attractive to the Supreme Lord. I just want to clear the air a little bit in regards to this particular vrata, because I did some research on it. And this particular vrata is for two things. One, to get a good son. So those who don't want sons, immediately you should consider not getting into this. And the other is to counteract the effects of curses. So if you feel you've been cursed, you can try this out. But the purpose of this vrata is not pure devotional service. Actually, Diti has been tricked by Kasyapa because she had a desire that was very horrible. And it's not the first time either. She had a desire before to have children, and she was so adamant about when she wanted to have children that she created a bit of a mess. A mess in the universe, not only in her own life, but in the whole universe. And she gave birth to two demons. And now the saga continues, because as a result of the killing of those two demons, she's decided to take revenge on Indra. And again, she comes to her husband, Kasyapa, with this desire, this horrible desire to kill a devotee, to kill the king of the demigods, Indra. And so Kasyapa, he casts to ascertain what is her adhikar, what is she able to hear? Because he couldn't just say to her, listen, Devi, this is ridiculous. You're in Maya, big time, and you should just give up this desire. Because he knew she wouldn't hear that. It wouldn't enter her heart. And so he considered how to help her to purify this desire so that she wouldn't create another disaster. Because she already created one disaster. And now to... Jai Shri Shri Gaurinathai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Jai Shri Shri Radhe Shyam Lalita Vishakha. So he tricked her. But he tricked her in a good way. Just like we see so many devotees, they arrange for the spiritual advancement of persons by helping them in a way that they don't realize is really spiritually helpful for them. We sometimes give prasadam. That's a good way to trick people. Prabhupada said, ISKCON bullets, the secret weapon of the devotee, right? That we give prasadam to people. And there are many examples. We can talk about some in a few minutes. But here, Kasyapa gives Diti this procedure. And it begins, it goes day by day with very much the things that we do. We worship, we rise in the morning, we take bath, we brush our teeth. Even I put on white cloth. And then ornament ourselves with the marks of the Vaishnav Tilak. And then we go and worship the Lord. And we offer him many nice things. 16 upacharas if you do worship on your own, or we come and see the Lord and we watch how beautifully he's dressed and how many wonderful offerings are made to him. And we become inspired. We chant his holy name and we become inspired to worship the Lord more and more. And we understand that the Supreme Lord enters in our heart through this process and he purifies our heart. So Srila Prabhupada came to America with a very difficult task, because his spiritual master asked him to preach in the West, but the qualification of those in the West was nil, well, pretty much nothing. And Srila Prabhupada had to think, as he put it, new and wonderful ways to inject Krishna consciousness into the dull brains of the materialistic people. That's the job of a teacher, that's the job of a preacher. To find the way to purify that person and elevate them in spiritual life. Not such an easy task. So Srila Prabhupada, he made it very simple. Kiss, keep it simple, sadhu. And he gave us a very simple process for developing bhakti, for developing love of Krishna. We tend very often to make it more complicated than it needs to be, than he originally intended it to be. He wanted us to focus our intention, attention, on assisting him in his mission and assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in distributing Krishna consciousness, because he knew that by pleasing Krishna and his devotees, that we would become purified and the benefit of that worship would elevate us in spiritual life. We would go back to Godhead by that simple process. And if we have faith in Srila Prabhupada, then we can rest assured that by just doing what Srila Prabhupada ask us to do, we can go back to Godhead. Some of you might have seen the video of Srila Prabhupada. I think maybe even one or two people were actually here at the opening of the Krishna Balaram Temple. Who was here? Nobody? Okay. So when Krishna Balaram and Radhe Shyam and Gaur Nithai were installed, in order to placate the desire of the local people in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada hired several Brahmins to do the initiation ceremony, to install the deities, to do the ceremony for installing the deities. So if you watch that video, because you'll see that Srila Prabhupada sat there completely expressionless. His face was completely deadpan. And they carried out this whole yajna, and they chanted so many mantras. And every once in a while, they would put some rice with turmeric in his hand, and he would throw it into the fire. But he would throw it into the fire like this. And he did that throughout the entire ceremony. You can watch the video. Because he was not at all inspired or enthused by the jagya that was going on. He told us afterwards that the actual installation of the deities here took place because of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that the devotees were doing. And that the ceremony was extraneous to that process. It wasn't really necessary. But it was necessary for another reason, for a preaching reason, because the people in Vrindavan wouldn't accept that Krishna Balaram and Radhisham and Gornitai were really Krishna Balaram, Radhisham, and Gornitai, unless this ceremony was performed. So Prabhupada participated in it, but he didn't participate in it with his heart. On the other hand, when he did the arti, you may have seen that picture as well, Prabhupada came up and he did the arti for Krishna and Balaram. And there he had a beaming, glowing smile on his face. He turned around when he offered the articles to the devotees, and he was glowing. He was, oh, Mahalakshmi Sira, Hare Krishna. There you go. Anyway, he was so happy to be there on the altar with the deities that were now installed, that were now there, Krishna and Balaram, Radhisham, Lalita and Vishaka, Gornitai. They were present now, and Prabhupada could see them there. And he was so happy to be able to be up there on the altar offering them the articles of the arti and seeing all the devotees chanting in ecstasy at that installation. So the difference in Prabhupada's mood between those two events was pronounced. And we could see from that Prabhupada's mood in Krishna consciousness was to just offer Krishna whatever we had from our heart. And he was so happy to see that these devotees, these Western devotees, had finally gotten this thing together. And they'd actually put the deities on the altar and were worshiping them nicely. And Prabhupada understood that from now on, Krishna Balaram Mandir would become a center, a chakra, which would help people in general to understand the real purpose of bhakti. Anukulyena, the purpose of bhakti is to have a favorable attitude towards worshiping Krishna, to infuse our devotional service with the desire to please Krishna. Really, that's all that's necessary. Prabhupada often compared it to having so many zeros, right? You can have so many things, so many abilities, so many talents, so many things. And certainly we can use them for Krishna. But they're like so many zeros unless you have this bhakti. Without desiring to use whatever we have in Krishna's service, it all becomes nothing. But Prabhupada wanted us to act with the desire to please Krishna. And he knew we didn't have much, but he wanted us to offer whatever we had to Krishna. We understand that Rupa Goswami said that in that verse, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilinam Anyabhilasitam Sunyam, which it begins, that Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna in that verse means not only Krishna himself, but his devotees. And everything connected with Krishna, all the incarnations of Krishna, all the devotees who worship Krishna sincerely, if we please them, if we serve them with love and devotion, then Krishna is pleased. And by his pleasure, everything we need will also be supplied. So it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada starts this purport with the verse from Sri Shapanishad, Om Purnam Adahak Purnamidam, that whatever you want, whether you have the desire for liberation, moksha kama, or sarva kama, all material desires, whatever desires you have, Krishna will fulfill them. Don't worry about it. Don't think about those desires. Think about pleasing Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, everything else will come. If we don't do that, then we can do so many things, just like this ceremony here, this vrata that Aditi is performing or has performed, because her motive was impure, she only received a minimal benefit. It's also interesting to note that in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, one has to perform everything perfectly. If one's desire is not pure, then the compensation is perfect performance of the jaga. Perfect. So, like we heard yesterday or the day before, Diti made one mistake. How many mistakes do we make? How many mistakes do we make in our attempt to do these kind of things? We chant the mantras imperfectly. Even now, sometimes the pronunciation is almost impossible to understand, especially if from some parts of the world. The Sanskrit becomes almost unintelligible. So we make mistakes in pronunciation. We make mistakes in cleanliness. We make mistakes even if we do deity worship. We chant this mantra, begging Krishna to forgive us for all our mistakes. Om mantrahinam kriyahinam bhaktihinam janardana yakpujitam maya deva paripurnam tarastami. Please forgive me for all the mistakes I made in the mantra, all the different things I did wrong. Please forgive me. So we make so many mistakes, and yet we get the result of bhakti, we get the result of devotional service because bhakti is present. And that bhakti is there, not necessarily for Krishna either, but in a desire to please Prabhupada, to please Krishna, it's devotee. And by pleasing Krishna devotee, we get the result of our worship, even though there are so many problems. But in these other vratas, I was in Mayapur recently, and it was the last 5 days of Kartika. So many devotees were doing this, maybe here too, because I read on the announcements that I get from Vrindavan that they were serving cow dung outside the temple. For those of you who wanted to do this vrata and you were going to eat cow dung and cow urine and whatever else you were going to eat. Nothing else you were going to eat. So this yoga, where did it come from? Prabhupada never gave us that thing. Prabhupada never asked us to do that thing. He wanted us, I remember once I was serving Srila Prabhupada in Delhi. I was cooking for him. I was a young girl and I didn't know anything. I had never cooked in India. I found myself cooking on this stove which you had to pump. And you'd pump it up and the flame would go and then it would gradually diminish. And I was trying to cook for Srila Prabhupada in a very strange circumstance. And then it came Nityananda's appearance day, 1974. And I asked the devotees, is Srila Prabhupada going to eat breakfast? So they responded to me with derision. They said, why would Prabhupada eat breakfast? It's a fast day. He won't eat breakfast. It's Nityananda's appearance day. Silly. So, okay, I didn't cook breakfast. And then at 9 o'clock, Prabhupada rang his bell. And I came to the door. Prabhupada said, where's breakfast? I said, well, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees told me it was Nityananda's appearance day. You would be fasting. I didn't make breakfast. And Prabhupada was not a happy person. He said to me, fruit and milk is also fasting. So Srila Prabhupada never told us to eat cow dung and cow urine. He never told us to chant all these different mantras. And if there's any flaw and bhakti is absent, then you'll get no result. You'll get no result. So the result comes from the bhakti, because we're not capable, practically speaking, we're not capable of performing these kinds of ceremonies without making some mistake. We're not, even we try, we have it all written down, we follow step A, step B, on Monday I eat only this, on Tuesday I eat only that, on Wednesday. No, really, the result comes from the steady, constant determination and practice of the desire to please Srila Prabhupada by doing our devotional practice that he gave us. How many times did Prabhupada say, chant 16 rounds? 16 good rounds. At least, minimum. How many times? How many times did he say, go to Mangal Arati? How many times did he say, follow the morning program? How many times did he say, read my books? Thousands, thousands and thousands of times. How many times did he say, eat cow dung on Kartik? Never. Not once. So you can try to come on sale during Kartik and eat cow dung and see how much advancement you can make or whatever. And I'm not saying you can do whatever you want, but don't neglect to follow the instructions he's given. You can add things if you want to add them, what to do. But don't neglect, don't replace, don't think that you can please the pure devotee or Krishna by doing these things and not doing the things that Srila Prabhupada asked us to do, that you vowed to do. When you get initiated, you vow, chanting 16 rounds a day, following the four regulative principles. You don't vow to follow all these other things. So Krishna, Prabhupada, he wanted us to do these things with determination, with dedication, with care, on a regular basis. And by that regular practice, that regular determination, we will develop bhakti in our heart. Love of Krishna. We'll come to understand that Krishna is a person and that he can fulfill our desires. We don't need to worry about them. We don't need to worry separately about all the different desires, because those desires will be filled. I sometimes was quoted the other day, sometimes Prabhupada says automatically, that these desires will become filled automatically, or that these qualities in our heart that we want, they'll become developed automatically. But what happens is that we do the process, and then organically, because we're doing the process, then these things happen automatically. They don't happen automatically if we sit there and wait for them to happen automatically. They happen because we're putting in the energy, we're putting in the effort to please Krishna, to please his pure devotee. And because we're trying to please Krishna and trying to please Krishna's pure devotee, then we become recipients of Krishna's mercy. Also in this verse and purport, there's a very, this whole story, that idea that Kasyapa tricked Diti is also relevant to us, because Prabhupada tricked us, right? He told us it was a simple process. We thought all we had to do was chant Hare Krishna and eat gulabjamins. But it wasn't, maybe dance, we should chant and dance, and then when we get tired, sit down and take prasadam. That's what Prabhupada told us again and again. Just sit, chant, dance. When you're tired, sit down, take prasadam. Then you get some energy, get up, chant, dance, take prasadam. So he used to keep a jar of gulabjamins or some kind of sweet, and we could eat them whenever we wanted. That was Prabhupada's trick. But it wasn't, now we find, you know, after sometimes many years, it's not so easy. Simple, simple, yes. Easy? Not necessarily. Because so many material desires and so many impediments seem to get in the way, seem to block our ability to just serve Krishna and have faith that he will reciprocate with whatever we need. Maybe what we need isn't exactly what we want. Maybe what we want is not even good for us. Just like Diti, what she wanted wasn't good for her. So her husband, happened to be a devotee, a pure devotee, a good devotee, he understood what she wants is not good for her. So I'm going to trick her. And hopefully her desire will become purified. This unwanted desire will go away. And she'll develop, she'll make spiritual advancement. She'll develop bhakti. So, and it happened over a process, little by little her heart became purified. And her desire to kill Indra was dissipated. And his desire, Indra's desire even, was also affected by her devotional service. But it was a trick. And Srila Prabhupada also tricked us. And we also need to trick others. This is, we see, in this particular canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that there's many good teachers, and those good teachers, one after the other, devised ways to bring their shishya forward in devotional service. And every one of them was different. Every one of them was different. For instance, we have the chapter begins with Ajamil. So Ajamil, he had had some instructions from brahmanas when he was young. And Krishna, from within his heart, inspired him to name his child Narayan. So he named his child Narayan, and all Narayan's life he was calling Narayan, very affectionately. Narayan, you please come here. Narayan, you please sit on my lap. Narayan, please let me feed you. Narayan, you're so cute. Prabhupada told me once I was in Prabhupada's room in L.A., and I had my daughter on a backpack on my back. And Prabhupada told me, he said, even if someone comes and says, what a cute daughter you have, they'll make spiritual advancement. So Ajamil was enamored by his cute son, and he was chanting his name with devotion right up until his last, what was almost his last breath. And he became purified. He became so purified that he was given a second chance. And we all know that story. And then we have Daksha, who did some, he was asked to populate the universe, and Vishnu, he understood his desire. He was doing some great austerity. He took sannyas, and he was doing some great austerity. Vishnu understood that his desire was not really to develop love of God. It was to have sex life. So he gave him what he needed, but in a way that would purify him. And Narada preached to Daksha's sons and got those sons to give up their austerity for the wrong reason and follow the process of devotional service strictly. We have Brihaspati and Indra. Indra committed an offense. And Brihaspati saw in his heart so much pride. And so he thought, I need to get rid of that pride. I need to do something to purify this person. So he walked away. He walked away and he walked out of Indra's life, and then Indra realized that he had committed an offense. He lost all his effulgence. He lost all his power. He lost to the demons. So many things happened, and finally he realized that he had made a serious mistake and he needed to rectify that mistake. We have Chitraketu, wonderful story, goes on for several births. That Chitraketu, also with Angira and Narada, Angira realized Chitraketu's unwanted thing in his heart. An unwanted thing. So he devised a process to teach him. He gave him a child. The child died. And then he, through that catalyst, Chitraketu's heart became purified very quickly. He had so many wives, like, what was it, 100,000 wives, I think? 10 million wives. Okay, so he had 10 million wives. 10 million wives and no child, and he still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. He didn't understand that this isn't the way I'm supposed to achieve perfection. He kept trying and trying. And Angira Muni came to him, saw him miserable. He didn't just say, listen, get over it already. You have 10 million wives. Why are you wasting your time? He said to him, okay, you want a child? I'll give you a child. But that child will be the result of cause your happiness and distress. And Chitraketu thought, yeah, he'll probably be an unruly teenager. No problem. I can deal with it. But I just want a son. So he had a son, and his son died. And in that, the death of that son and the arrangement of Angira and Narada, Chitraketu learned to worship Krishna in just 7 days. Took him 100,000 wives. He didn't learn, but in 7 days. By the intervention of an expert teacher, he learned. And then, again, he became cursed by Parvati. And because he was, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story, but he became cursed by Parvati and he became Vachasara. Then he gave instruction to Indra. Will you kill me already so I can go back to Godhead? You want to win? Okay, that's your desire. My desire is to go back to Godhead. So you please just kill me. Just get it over with so that I can go back to Krishna. So he also learned another lesson. He became, Vitrasar became fixed on his intention to go back to Godhead, and he gave Indra a lesson as well. And now we have Diti and Kasyapa. Kasyapa, expert teacher, figured out how to try, how to help Aditi learn the lesson she needed to learn. Every one of us, if we're a teacher, we know this is an expression called with him, what's in it for me. And if we can't help somebody to understand what's in it for them, they will not take up the process of Krishna consciousness. They will not do anything. They will not learn anything. That learning process takes place when someone understands what's in it for me. And Prabhupada was very expert at teaching us what's in it for you. What's in it for you? And we have to become expert also in teaching others what's in it for you. What's for this little investment of your time, chanting, taking prasadam, dancing in front of the deity, you can have an eternal life of happiness in the spiritual world. And if we can believe that, if we can develop firm faith in that, and follow the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, we can go back to Godhead. That was Aditi's qualification. She had a very, very difficult time with material desires. She had so many material desires. And it was very difficult for her to surpass those material desires. But she had one qualification. That qualification was deep faith in the word of her guru, who was her husband. She had deep faith in his instruction. And so when he instructed her, she followed what he said to the letter. And even though she tried to follow it to the letter, still there was some mistake. But still, she did the essence of what he asked. And she tried with sincerity to follow his instruction. And so she got a good result. She got a good result. And so also, if we can become faithful to the order of our spiritual master, to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, we too will get a good result. Even if we make mistake, even if we don't do it exactly right, we'll still get the benefit. Because of love for and faith in our spiritual master and his instruction, we can go back to Godhead. This is Prabhupada's promise to us. This is Prabhupada's promise to us. I read a letter, I'll end with this. We read a letter recently. It was written by Srila Prabhupada in 1956. And so 56, that's before Prabhupada even came to America. He didn't have any disciples, didn't have any temples, didn't have anything, really. He was, as he said in the letter, crying alone in the wilderness. And he wrote that letter to the president of India. And what he said is, he said, I have the formula. I'm completely convinced. He said, I'm as convinced as a young man is that after eating a feast, he's satisfied. That's how convinced I am that I have the process that every man and woman in this world can go back to Godhead at the end of this life. That's what Prabhupada wrote. He wrote it several times. I am sure that I have the process that every man and woman can go back to Godhead in the end of this life. And that was Prabhupada's firm conviction. So if we imbibe that conviction and we have faith in Srila Prabhupada's instruction, we can just do that. We can just do that with a desire to please him. We can just chant the holy name. We can take up the processes that he gave us, hearing, reading his books, chanting, giving Krishna consciousness to others, and our lives will be successful. We don't have to add anything. We certainly shouldn't subtract anything. And our lives will become perfect. So I'll end there. And if there's any questions, I can try to answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I don't have any question. Probably I would say I have not heard any such nice lecture probably before, so that's it, my problem.
Hare Krishna. All right. Huh? He wants the mic. Don't decapitate anybody.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, I'd like to comment and then allow me to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand correctly, the topic you mentioned a couple of times about drinking cow dung and garlic is unauthorized to extra purification.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of comments. Srila Prabhupada mentioned, don't be a better acharya than Guru Maharaj. Also, his final instruction was keep everything as it is. Mm. Do not add anything. Do not subtract anything. Just keep it as it is. Don't alter anything. Mm. Just keep it as it is. Finally, if you're a fool in front of a spiritual master, you will become intelligent. But if you think you are more intelligent than Guru Maharaj, then you will go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. And question?
Question is, why the Srila Prabhupada is actually so clear, books, thousands of articles, thousands of lectures, conversations, looks like right now there is a philosophical war going on every major topic, whether it's Martin Luther issue, the book, or not touching book by books, a Google standards, or even how to mentor the minister, salaries, incentive commissions, all these issues. So why this is happening? What is your thought about this?
Well, I don't know if I can answer why this is happening, because that's a question for the cosmos. And I have no control over the cosmos, or no. But I will say that, of course, there is a need to adjust things according to time and circumstance, and we have a very big movement now, and it's a change in the sense that we have a very large congregational movement. Before, when we were with Prabhupada, we all lived in the temple. My three children were born in the temple, so it was very different now. Now we're outside, we have to make a living, and Prabhupada certainly preferred the devotees to work within the sphere of Krishna consciousness, and he did say at some times that devotees who were distributing books could take some money for their maintenance, so there's room for discussion there. But where there isn't room for discussion is in our consciousness, that we have to have faith that our consciousness, our way of living, should be simple. We should simple living and high thinking, not complicating and living and no thinking. We should have very simple way of life. Our maintenance should be minimal, and our consciousness should be, how can I serve Krishna? How can I serve the mission? Many people now are starting to develop this desire to serve Krishna. That's very nice. But Prabhupada wanted us to serve the mission. He didn't want us, he wanted us to serve Krishna by serving the mission. I was just reading maybe the quote today that's posted every day from Krishna Balaram Mandir, a quote of the day. And the quote of the day today was that no one is more dear to Krishna than he who preaches this Krishna consciousness to fallen souls, was what Prabhupada said. And that if we do that, then Krishna will be happy and we'll be happy. So we shouldn't lose perspective. If we want to add cow dung like salt to the mixture, then okay, fine. But don't lose the perspective. That's really the essence. The essence can't be changed. And our essence is to serve Krishna with devotion and do what our acharya asked us to do. Don't minimize that. That's really the problem, is when we minimize that and it becomes replaced with these things, people tend to get distracted by these other things, and then we lose our focus on following Srila Prabhupada's instruction. So that's all I can say. Why it's happening is because, I tell you one reason it's happening is because of Google Guru. That many people, in Vrindavan as well, and other places, are reading books that are not, they're written by our acharyas, but they're not translated in our line. And so many of the important siddhantas that we're supposed to get or have in reading are minimized because the translator doesn't have that mood in his heart that Prabhupada had. I remember in 1969, one devotee, he found a copy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from one of Prabhupada's godbrothers in English. And so he said to Srila Prabhupada, can I read this? Is it bona fide? Prabhupada's answer was, it's 95% bona fide, but you are not intelligent to know the 5%, so don't read it. So now we're more, you know, maybe we have some translations, good translations, maybe we're more knowledgeable now, we've studied Prabhupada's books, but at least we should study all of Srila Prabhupada's books before we go to studying something else. We should read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, study Srila Prabhupada's books, understand Prabhupada's mood and mission before we go trying to read other things. Yes, Prabhu.
Madam, thank you. Very inspiring. And, you know, regarding the fasting and many things, devotees want to aim to make the devotion greater. But in the purport of that shloka, Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Mahamya, it's amazing that Prabhupada says that what Krishna has promised to himself, we should not be worried.
Yeah, actually there's that nice story. I can't tell now, it's late. So anyway, I should end now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.